Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jeremiah Roberts, one of the co-hosts of Cultish. I want to introduce you guys to the last part of our dialogue with Elijah Stevens, who attends Bethel Church in Redding, California. And so when Elijah initially reached out to us after our initial series on Bethel, he was very upfront and passionate about helping charismatics avoid the New Age. Now, you might be asking, how exactly does this make sense, especially considering the certain books and teachings that we touched on in our last series on Bethel with Doreen and Melissa? So in light of all that, I gave Elijah the opportunity to explain from his vantage point how he sees that possible. And as I stated before, it is incredibly important, considering all that we've touched on in our series on Bethel, to listen with discernment. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:14 that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So with all that being said, I want to go ahead and introduce you guys to this last part of our dialogue with Elijah Stevens, and I'll have some additional thoughts at the end of this episode.
My name is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sakes, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ. But you're...
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the grand finale of this cultish exclusive, whatever you want to call it. we're here, and it's once you get like four podcasts in, and it's like, I can't believe I did four. This is crazy. So, Andrew, Super Sleuth, you are here.
I'm here.
Sleuthing about.
Yep.
And you were a little fly on the wall last episode. When you want to jump in, feel free to do so. As always, people love what you have to say. Once again, we're here with Elijah Stevens, who attends Bethel Church in Redding, California. And we covered a lot of good and important issues. And almost, I think those are almost like starting points for more continued conversations and things like that. So in this last part, we're going to discuss the New Age, because that is something that you're passionate about, helping people avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have a conversation about that. You talked about from your perspective, the difference between the New Age and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you make, just give us your perspective.
Yes,
talk about that.
Right. If you're going to ask, is the New Age invading the charismatic movement? You got to go, well, what is the New Age? Because things can look similar between religions. Like, Muslims pray, Christians pray. Does that mean prayer is bad? Right? And so, what is the New Age? If you go, you really have to start with like Eastern religions, like Hinduism, Buddhism. This is a weird mindset for anyone who's raised in a monotheistic culture to get into, because frequently in the New Age, there's no set belief about how the supernatural world is. But let's say in the Hindu worldview, they believe in something called pantheism, which is God and the world is one.
Right.
And this is going to be very important later, because then everything that is spiritual is natural, and everything that is natural is spiritual. And so inside of this worldview, I'll do the Hindu version and then get to the New Age, because all the New Age is stripping out parts of the kind of Eastern or pagan worldview and making it more digestible to Westerners. The goal is, well, if everything's God, then you're a God, right? Hmm. Jerry, and your problem is you've forgotten that you're a God. And so you want to yoke yourself or remind yourself that you are a God. It is a world, well, this God is not conscious. The universe isn't conscious. So if God's not conscious, then there's really no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You get to decide what's right. And to transcend, you get to decide, well, this is right, this is wrong. And you can disagree with me and go, I think this is right. Well, that's your opinion, because it's very relativistic. And so the goal in a Hindu worldview for many is to have as many supernatural experiences as you can. And this is what happens when people leave the Bible behind and are just like, let's go after supernatural experience. Well, you can go be a Hindu, join the New Age. And you can have as many supernatural experiences as you want.
Yeah. What's the name of that river in India? The one that's really famous where people will go there for healing. And there's those Ganges River.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
The Ganges.
Yeah, because you mentioned like supernatural experience. There's a really fantastic documentary. There's a company that Walter Martin was associated with. It was called Jeremiah Films.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one of the films they did. It's really fascinating, especially for its time, the Gods of the New Age.
Mm-hmm.
And they dealt with a lot of, at the time, even like a lot of Eastern religion that was really invading mm-hmm. Western society. But they would have a lot of pictures, for example, of the Hindu gurus, the ones who would meditate for like years on mm-hmm. end, and they were just, they are kind of doing their things, and that's literally was like they looked. How would I say it? There's times where this guy's a guru, but he kind of looks like someone who would be a junkie, be picked off the street, and it mm-hmm. kind of goes in line with what Walter Martin called a lot of this being spiritual narcotics. Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with what you're saying.
Yeah, and so in the New Age, what happens is when you look at Hinduism, there's some things that are really offensive to Westerners. So let's take the idea of karma in Hinduism, which is if you live correctly, you will begin to merge with Brahman. And if you don't, you begin to reincarnate as a lesser being. So if you're sick, well, why did that happen to you? If you're born without a leg, it's because in the past life you didn't live well, and gosh, you don't want to help people because they're, you'd be messing with their karma.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as Westerners kind of raised in a post-Christian world still value love and charity, even though those are Christian values. And so we're like, oh, this is offensive. And so the New Age took all of the Hindu worldview and all of the pagan worldview and practices of spiritual encounter and said, let's make this palatable for Westerners to engage in this stuff and pick whatever you want. If you want to use Ouija boards, cool. If you want to learn astrology, cool. And they don't care about the metaphysics of it. They're incompatible with each other. Believing that the stars are gods is incompatible with mm-hmm. the idea that, I don't know, Brahman exists or whatever. And who cares? Let's just all get together and teach about spiritual experiences and learn from each other. And so that's how I would describe the mm-hmm. New Age in many ways.
So where would you think that, the occult comes in? I know you said Ouija boards and things of that nature. So let's think in like a New Age worldview or even like a Buddhist worldview, even Hindu, the denial of the self and almost the Gnosticism of the flesh.
Okay.
You know, denying all of those types of urges in order to reach a point of nirvana, to like end a cycle of samsara, like rebirth.
Right.
So since it's Gnostic in the sense that this material world essentially makes us interpret the truth of what their reality in this pantheistic world would be, we interpret it through fallen flesh, essentially.
Yeah.
So with the occult, are there tools, there's things that are necessary in order to rid ourselves of a material connection to connect to this other spiritual existence?
Right, right, right. One's yoga. And people go, well, when I see yoga, I see someone breathing and stretching. What they're trying to do in the occultic version of yoga is to connect with Brahman. And so you read something like the Yoga Kundalini Upanishad, and would argue that there's energy in certain chakras, and the goal is to get the energy to go from your root chakra all the way up to your third eye. And you do this through breathing and stretching. And so this puts you into an altered state of consciousness. And as you do this, you begin to have supernatural experiences, because the natural and the supernatural are the same in this worldview. And eventually you merge with being itself, and then you lose yourself. And so in the, let's say, Hindi worldview, as you're doing this, you begin to have supernatural experiences. You begin to, go out of your body, or you are able to heal people of diseases. And yoga just promises all, it can do anything for you, basically, if you practice it right, either in this life or in the next. And it's very deceitful, because, when you're a charismatic Christian and you've never been raised around paganism, and people start talking about connecting with God,
right?
Well, I want to connect with God.
Yeah.
Supernatural experiences from God, I want that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so
it's appealing. It's very appealing.
It's appealing, and it's in our language.
Mm.
And that's the problem. If you're in a low discernment environment where you've not been taught critical thinking skills, and someone starts talking about the New Age, you start seeing similarities. And you go, well, maybe they know a little more about God in this one little area. What happens is the internet marketers realize this, and they start doing clickbait articles. So they might take a sermon by Bill telling a story about a miracle and say Bethel Miracles, and someone's watching that, and then put it on their New Age website and say, well, she's like the Holy Spirit. She is like our prana or kundalini is like the Holy Spirit. And so what if you started seeing the God as more like energy? And
so are you talking about people online who are taking these clips? Are these people who are New Age that are seeing this, or like who's the one that are splicing these clips?
The people that are splicing it are people who want to sell New Age products, and they realize the charismatic movement is
an easy target.
An easy target.
And they're doing that with clips inside, like from Bethel services, or like what's
sometimes
going on with
New Age. Yeah. Okay. That's what got me really interested in it. Mm-hmm. Is like, why are you teaching this? Why is our stuff ending up over there? Like what you see sometimes is because what people don't understand is, if you're a salesman and you're trying to sell something to someone, you want to make it look as much like their worldview as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, let's say praying and asking the Holy Spirit to come, can kind of look like Reiki. Why not sell this as the Holy Spirit to people? And so that is a huge problem. And sometimes the charismatic church creates this blindness to it.
Right.
Because what happens is we sometimes go, yeah, we don't really need to talk about this stuff. Who cares about pantheism? It's not about the intellect. It's about experiencing as much of God as you can. And these New Age and pantheistic people go, yep, we got God, mm-hmm. but it's a different God.
Yeah.
They're like, we've got altars in high places you can build, and we've got the instructions. Yeah,
yeah. Are there other, aside from like clips you say have been pulled together, and I would, if you have clips later on that you can maybe forward to me, I would love to take a look at that.
Yeah.
Of, because that's an aspect I had no idea about. Yeah, yeah. Are there other, what do you call it, denominations or section of charismaticism where you'd have evidence where they've taken things from different services just outside of the Bethel movement and campuses, where this is happening?
So one of the things that happened, I want to say 2015-ish, we had a former BSSM student get into something. His name was Jason Westerfield. You know, went online and thought, well, you know, this astral projection sounds a little bit like listening to the Holy Spirit, and started like doing that and started talking to little blue men.
Yep.
Which
is just amazing, because we've talked a little bit about independent lines of testimony.
Yeah.
And we even talked about it when we talked about our previous episode with Bob Lazar, and people will talk about independent lines of testimony, talking about these experienced little blue men having these encounters.
Yeah.
And even if you listen to Stephen Bancar's episode, even talking about like literally like sexual assault that happens when people are out of their body, and just crazy situations like that. This is even like the little blue man, it's like, and there it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Bill actually had to address that from the pulpit, which is like, and I assume, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, there was some type of excommunication process that came from that. But that really woke me up to something that I don't think's on people's radars. One of the things that happened in the charismatic movement in the 70s to 90s was there was a hyper, what I would call, focus on spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people in the church said, "What? This is too much. There's a demon under every bush. Let's stop looking at the New Age. Let's stop trying to articulate what it is." And that becomes a problem. And I feel like it's at our doorstep. That wolf is trying to get in the hen house, and we don't want to become devil focused. That's super unhealthy. But we need to have a framework for, if you're going to be charismatic, to tell the difference between all of these New Age claims that sound so similar to what you would consider a continuationist version of the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah, I think it highlights an issue, you know, if Satan's trying to go after specifically the charismatic area, it highlights an issue that there needs to be something addressed and something needs to be changed.
Sure.
I mean, Satan will attack probably every denomination, but right now we're seeing massively a New Age infiltration into the church, you know, and this has been happening since the 60s or 70s.
Right.
But it just highlights the need that there's something that needs to change. Something needs to happen.
And it's not just charismatics. Jerry, you were sharing something about a chiropractor. Could you maybe share that story?
Yeah, we had a situation, I believe, if you guys go to Apologia Studios, there's a sermon that Pastor Jeff preached.
Mm-hmm. Modern Tools of the Occult.
Modern Tools of the Occult. And it had to do with a practice called dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on some level, if I remember, it's been a while since we got into it, there was a chiropractor that a lot of families at church were involved with. And there's no ill intent when they were seeking out this chiropractor. This is just what they went to, and there's people were actually getting help with things. Some people had some peanut allergies or things that were going on, and somehow whatever his methodology was seemed to be working.
Mm-hmm.
It was this time, I think, when, and I'm just trying to remember, I think it might have been Jeff's son or someone else was going, and there was basically these things called remote viewing or ESP.
Yeah.
And that's where, when Jeff started to find out about it, there's information they were finding out about them that's like, how are you doing this from a distance? And
right.
So the whole method, I mean, Jeff had his research, I mean, we had a deacon's meeting, he was talking about it. It was like 100 pages of research, like getting to the bottom of it. And it came to a point where, as a shepherd, he had to say, you can't go to this chiropractor because this, in spite of the good that may have come out of it, this is crossing a line where we talk about the law of God. This is, this falls into that category, and and it's dangerous to toy around with this, and this is not okay.
Yeah.
So he, we had an instance of that too, and that, and when the, he had to address that. So
And so when it's the way people are starting to try to hit the charismatic movement is via contemporary and alternative medicine.
Okay.
Because one, we're in a culture that at some level doubts certain food claims. We, you know, we're more health conscious, and we go, hey, maybe there's naturalistic ways to heal my body, and maybe there's ancient ways to heal my body.
Right.
And so part of that is we have to recognize and understand the language of kind of pagan ideas, because from those ideas they practice medicine. So one of them is chi. It's called vital force, prana, innate intelligence, kundalini, energy medicine. And what it is this idea that, imagine the Christian worldview is not true, and instead there's something in the universe like the force from Star Wars.
Right.
And so this force is going through everything in the universe, and it goes through your body and through things called meridians. And so sometimes this force gets out of balance. There's yin and yang, and that's what chi is. And so if you're a, let's say, someone that practices Chinese medicine or whatever, you would use acupuncture to fix it. And so people think, well, I mean, all it is putting needles in my body. But this is the same as magic. Because you're dealing with an impersonal spiritual force. Like in scripture, spirits are things with minds, wills, and emotions. And so this takes on many different forms. Another thing is energy medicine, which is this idea that I can wave my hands over you and you have energy flowing through you, and I can alter the course of energy to bring it into balance, and that'll bring healing to you.
Like Reiki.
Reiki.
Yeah.
There's... But that sounds like God healing people to some people in the charismatic movement, because they're not thinking at a critical level of what's the difference between an impersonal force and God. And in the charismatic movement, all the time we say God can feel like electricity when he shows up.
Yeah.
And so that is a huge problem for us, is we don't have many, not all of us, many don't have a grid for the difference between these things. And they go to New Age fairs to witness to people, and then they hear people talking about God, or they hear them talking about healing, and they go, I like God and I like healing. Maybe there's something to learn here. And then the New Age practitioner starts, for lack of a better word, they use the same words but a different dictionary. They
Christianese. Call it, they speak Christianese.
They speak Christianese really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, they'll, for example, New Agers will give it. There's a really good book. It's called, I think it's called Putting Jesus in His Place. And the guy who wrote it actually goes to Biola. That's how you pronounce it, right? Biola?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. but he's,
like, I hope so.
It's a really good book. And it's just a scriptural case for the divinity of Jesus. And
right.
One of the things he talks about is, like, every single person, like, everyone wants Jesus on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when the New Age look at Jesus, they'll look at him as some sort of ascended master, and it's a terminology difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's, like, the hang-up, is that if you're trying to reach out to these fairs and are trying to talk about Jesus, but they have their terminology is something completely different, where on some level he's either some sort of ascended master that we can kind of follow in its wake, and the idea that he is Jesus is fully God and fully man, and mm-hmm. need to repent and believe because he died for us, and that stuff is completely foreign right. to them. They'll take a look at a verse of, you know, Jesus says, like, ye are gods. Mm-hmm. And they'll take that, oh, well, we need to awaken the divine within. Deepak Chopra talks a lot, like, we'll talk about that. I think he had a book called The Third Jesus where he talked about that. And you realize he's actually really condemning the Pharisees, because he's quoting Psalm 82. And he's saying that, well, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men, you unjust judges. The whole mm-hmm. context of Psalm 82 is that. So that mm-hmm. that's where things can get confused and nuanced. And I guess if there's anything more you want to tell me more about that, that's good. Was there anything more about the issues with the fair? Because I know that's something like Lindsay brought up initially, like when she mentioned it in passing, because it was touched on very briefly. And mm-hmm. was there anything else you want to mention that? Because,
well, yeah, because there's this catch-22 of, you know, we were talking about healing earlier, and sometimes God wants to show his love to people and mm-hmm. heal them. But what happens is when you go in, well, let me back up. I was raised in a culture where the live options for religion were either a Christian or a skeptic or an atheist. Mm-hmm. We did not have any type of, maybe there were a few people into Wicca, but they were way outside of my people group.
Yeah.
And many in the charismatic church grew up in similar environments. And so many think, well, if I want to share God's love with people, and I'm just talking about God or Jesus, or just praying for healing, that's enough to communicate the Christian message. And so when you find yourself in environments that maybe trend more New Age, yeah. California is a great place to find those environments.
Absolutely.
You know, we're an hour from Shasta, which is like a ley line for, I don't know. It is mm-hmm. super New Age.
Yeah.
Then what happens is you can find yourself in New Age environments and telling people, like, you know, Jesus loves you. And they're here, if you're New Age, you're hearing the Ascended Master loves me, or the Christ consciousness loves
yep.
me. And so, or pray for healing, which is the same as Reiki to them. And so, like, we have to be very conscious of how we communicate Christ in those environments.
Okay, that's good. That's I appreciate you saying that, that's very encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
What was your thought? Because you listened into the episodes we did, Doreen yeah. and Melissa. Like, what did you think about those? What were some things? What were some takeaways that you had as someone who attends Bethel, and you mm-hmm. you're very knowledgeable, and this is a passion topic of yours.
Yeah.
What did you think about their perspective?
One, I thought they were healthy girls. They really have a passion for helping people get out of the New Age mm-hmm. and see Christ for who he is.
Yeah.
And I definitely take away or affirm, I'm not sure this is the first time I heard this, but yeah. Like the importance of Christ and him crucified and communicating that, and like the need for clear delineation between a Christian worldview versus a New Age worldview. I think is essential, and I super applaud their ministry.
Okay. Awesome. So I guess we could jump in and kind of talk about, like, given the passion that you have and given mm-hmm. what was brought up, and we touched on it briefly in part when we had Lindsay on initially back in mm-hmm. March, and then we kind of critiqued it more in depth in a couple other works and materials. Mm-hmm. So when you look at everything that you're saying and you want to help charismatics avoid the new age, The Physics of Heaven.
Sure.
I've read it. You've read it.
Yeah.
And have you gone through all of it, or you've gone through...
I've gone through quite a bit of it, not all of it.
Okay. So, Andrew. If you guys haven't listened to the previous episodes, we kind of went over some of those.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's things, obviously, I'll just quick synopsis. When I see it as this, there's things that are said in there that are alarming, are extraordinarily concerning. There's practices that can redeem the new age is redeemable. Talking that these certain things are okay, but they fall under the category of what the law of God says in Deuteronomy 18, and also what teachings that would have been similar that would have been in the books that would have been burnt in Acts. All those sort of things, like quantum, like secrets that have been found in quantum mysticism. You know, the whole deal,
right?
And you've heard those quotes and talking about, well, and then you have Chris Vallotton, your prophet, and he's saying that the authors in here, they're directed by the Holy Spirit to discuss this. And then it's like, well, how do we approach this? And how do we deal with a new age in an environment, at least that particular book, and you could even say maybe it's not representative as a whole.
Sure.
He's writing the forward to a book of a lot of stuff that's... How would people not come to that conclusion that those practices are okay when they go to like a witch fair? I think if they picked up a copy of The Physics of Heaven the same way that Lindsay did, could that be a logical conclusion? Or it's just some of the other stuff like the Inuit cards?
Well, let me do some setup and then I'll directly address that.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things that came up is the redemption of culture. Which I think is very fascinating. And we talked at lunch the other day about the healthy way to redeem culture and then the unhealthy. Christianity has always taught there's something called general revelation in other cultures, which is you can go into another culture and maybe they believe something true about God. So you go into a Muslim culture and they believe God is one. And there's something redeemable that you can find in the Muslim culture called the Kalam cosmological argument, which is an argument for God's existence. William Lane Craig uses that. There's something called common grace, which is Abraham Kuyper really wrote about this. He says there's not a square inch of this world of which Christ does not call mine. And he says rain falls, you know, scripture says rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. And other cultures can learn good traits. The Chinese learn gunpowder, and we can take gunpowder and go, rah, that's great. One of the things that has happened is that we learn things from the occult scientifically. And I want to really get into how we can tell the difference and how to healthily balance that. So... astrology is divining, looking at the stars and tracking them in order to hear what the gods are saying, right? And so what Christians did, well, let me back up. In ancient Babylon, they tracked the stars in order to divine them, and they kept really good records over 400 years. And what they realized was that as they're doing this, that they're tracking the stars, and they realize, hey, these things are moving in the same direction all the time, and we can predict where they are.
The repetition.
Yeah. 300 years from now, when the next eclipse will come. So these aren't gods. And so if you strip out all the spiritual stuff and you just study the stars, that's biblical. And so what the Christian and Jewish faith have always done is they've learned certain scientific things about the empirical world, stripped out the spiritual stuff, and then renamed it to astronomy. And this is biblical. The same happened with spiritual alchemy, became chemistry. And so there is a sliver of the redemption of culture. Where we go wrong sometimes is And this happens in the New Age, and it happens because science has advanced so far. Quantum mechanics is hard to understand. You know, reading a peer-reviewed journal article about science is difficult even for someone like myself who's studying science and religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's advanced so far that what is happening is that many people are hearing science-y claims and going, well, maybe there's a common grace insight here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking that's probably the mindset in which Physics of Heaven was written. Is that it's a book and people are trying, you know, the authors are going, maybe there's something in the quantum world that we can learn from. The problem is to just think, well, how do you study the quantum world? Well, there's, you know, there's the Large Hadron Collider, and it's 17 miles around in order to get the particles to run fast enough.
Right.
And so, what New Age people do is they take a fact, a scientific fact, is that, let's say the world's made of energy, or that, you know, particles react in a particular way, and then they start building pseudoscientific and philosophical claims upon that. And many times Christians go, that sounds close to the Christian worldview. And so the New Agers claim with quantum mysticism is that, well, the due to the like sine wave collapse, or excuse me, the particle collapse in the double split experiment, that there is no such, or oh man, dude, I am drawing blanks. I'm so sorry.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I think what's good is that a lot of people who are listening into this audience, I mean, like, I science is not my forte.
Right.
And you definitely have me beat to the punch on that, and that's fine. But what I would say is that, and Stephen Bancars, in his book, Second Coming of the New Age, in chapter 4 of his book, Science So Falsely Called, I believe it's called, is that he talks about how people will take the very complex and newly evolving areas of science where there's a lot of complexity that's still in its infancy and that's still evolving, where they'll take those aspects, and in the areas of the mysterious, that's where they'll insert like New Age teaching.
Right.
Like Stephen was saying, is there some science that if you lay on your head, like you just lay on your back and you put like a crystal on your head and you meditate,
right.
Is there physiologically things that are happening? Are the physiology things when you when you meditate a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. The question is, what does God say about that? Is this something that's really ultimately you should be participating in? And though, so that's where, when it comes to the aspect of these complexities, what is it ultimately, what's being slipped in to say that, is this the way to encounter the supernatural or the divine in the way that God says is actually off limits?
Well,
and that's where I think is a lot of times like the lack of the discernment.
Yeah.
In a book like this, one from the authors, but also of someone who is in that position to where they want to experience the supernatural, they attend Bethel and they pick up a book and then they use this as to maybe somehow, and then maybe some of that confusion between like, the guy you mentioned, and I don't know the whole context, who started looking up astral projection.
Sure.
I think from my perspective, looking at a book like that, that could have easily come from this book as much as it could have been online. Sure. And that stuff's all over online. So I don't know. That's just my thought.
And so what they do is they will take, you know, these claims about how the quantum world works and then start extrapolating that, you know, we can create our own reality. And, well, you know, God heals people. God has given us authority. What if this is true? And so what if there's stuff that we can learn from these people? And so when I look at physics of heaven, I want to say there's parts, you know, I agree with. I agree you shouldn't engage with the supernatural world without Jesus. Like, you should follow Jesus as you do this. You know, this is a quote, are psychics and New Agers operating with real power? The answer is yes, but they've climbed in as trespassers. They don't have access to the spiritual realm through Jesus. So I think there's good stuff. There's stuff that gives me yellow flags. There's some pseudoscience in it. Rife machines. The claim is that this guy in the book had 100% healing through these light machines called Rife machines. They're frauds.
When you say like experiment, like go into the supernatural, but as long as you do it with Jesus.
What practices exactly?
Could you maybe emphasize?
By that, praying for the sick. What we were talking about earlier, the prophetic, mm-hmm. Casting out demons. New Agers try to cast out demons.
So not things like astral projection.
No.
Or acupuncture.
No. But like anything that Scripture teaches, they're trying. I mean, it's fair to say the New Age is trying to counterfeit Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's stuff that I go, wait a minute. These are misrepresentations of the biblical worldview. And I want to be very, very careful here.
Yeah.
I'm not accusing of anything. This could be miswriting. But I want to read a paragraph that sends red flags up for me.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Now that Jesus has redeemed everything, we need to know what this power is, this sea of quantum light. So she's talking about quantum light as what is the fundamental force of the universe that undergrinds everything. And more importantly, we need to know how to access it. We have the zero point filled within us. Individually, each of us may not have a square yard of zero point energy within us, but two or three of us together do. The Bible says whatever two or three agree upon will be done. So we truly have power within us and around us to move many mountains. Jesus calmed storms. We should be able to do that too. Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead. And this is a very important thing. We have the same power within us, and we also have power all around us undergirding the universe. And so, like I was saying earlier, in the New Age worldview, the spiritual and the physical are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to say in the Christian worldview, where does Jesus's power come from? It's because he is God, and the energy that he created in the universe is separate from himself. God created energy. God is not energy.
Right.
Equals MC squared is a created thing. And so to say that we have this zero point light in us is essentially saying Jesus healed through zero point light,
mm-hmm.
which starts to sound like magic.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's what she meant to write, but it should cause a red flag to go up and say we should be able to access this.
It's almost like saying zero point light is God, in a sense.
Well, more so is that, so in the ancient Near East, well, where does magic come from? If you're a pagan, an Egyptian or a Hittite, it comes from the natural world. And so pulling on this impersonal spiritual force to do healing, there seems to be a crossover. And so that is a super red flag. There's other points. You know, she talks about how there's a direct quote, researchers are now studying ways to work with the body's energy to bring healing. Dr. Mehet Oz of TV fame reflected the opinion of many medical professionals when he recently stated, as we get a better understanding of how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. And so I look up Dr. Oz, and I look up energy medicine on YouTube, and the study he's doing is one on Reiki. And so let's assume, in the best of all possible worlds, this book is an apologetic where someone's going, I'm trying to redeem culture. It's super dangerous because it's promoting things that are non-occult practices. And it's not making any distinctions between those and the Christian worldview. And that is super, super dangerous. And it's this part of discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell the difference between similar and same. Christian healing is different than New Age healing, because we're not trying to draw on an impersonal spiritual force. And what the New Agers are doing to attract Christians is they're trying to make it sound natural. The way I know the difference is science doesn't show that chi or prana or anything like that exist.
Right.
Do you think, like, within the culture at BSSM, for example, that there is, they were going out, like in your film, by the way, which I enjoyed.
Yes.
You're going out with two students from Bethel, and they're trying to pray for people and seek healing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about your, about the difference between the New Age healing and Christian healing.
Mm-hmm.
If, would you say, like, the average person at Bethel or Bethel student, when they see healing as a whole, or they think there's a possibility this might be happening, a level to differentiate between the two?
We try to teach it. Every year we bring in Randy Clark, and he wrote a book called Whose Energy Is It?
Okay.
And I want to just read a quote. It's not safe to assume anyone, or for, I'm so tired, dude. I'm messing up words.
That's right.
It's not safe for anyone to assume that the energy, therapeutic touch, or Reiki enthusiast and claim to be channeling is a force for good or godly power. In fact, it seems safe to conclude it is not. It's clearly associated with worldviews that are in opposition to Christianity and practices explicitly forbidden in Scripture. This is my personal take on this.
Sure.
In the charismatic movement, those with the highest levels of theological education are recognizing that, because Randy Clark's, you know, got his PhD in theology. He's got he runs a seminary. They are saying, watch out for this charismatic movement.
Okay.
Good. And so, Paul King is just writing a book called Is It of God? He's speaking out against chi and Reiki. Michael Brown speaks out against this. Dr. Candy Gunther Brown in Healing Gods. And so the problem is that those with the lowest levels of theological education and scientific education are bringing in pseudoscience and, how do I put it? Bad theology.
Mm-hmm.
And, this can become dangerous really fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, as, you know, I want to speak out against this because, gosh, I do not want the occult in my church.
Right.
Yeah, and that's encouraging to hear. And one thing I'll mention, too, there was a young lady I spoke with recently who came out of the New Age, and she was a Reiki healer and an energy healer. And not only she experienced demonic encounters and really dangerous stuff, which kind of really woke her up, that I've dabbled in something I shouldn't be dabbling in. I think if I remember, she kind of gives an account of people who witnessed, like, just her face and eyes change color in such a way where it was like, if you've ever seen someone who's, like, there but not there,
right,
sort of situation. And it was, and then her fiance, I believe he had a situation too where he, like, did astral projection and did that. And that's where it's important, because when we talked in our past episode that if someone come, if you look up right now, like, on YouTube, Jesus to New Age, there are, like, testimonies going up, like, every other week. Like, God is doing something really, really cool right now with really showing people the truth and the power of Jesus in contrast to the spiritual narcotics of the New Age. So, like, my, then the area of concern is that if someone who's, like, a Reiki or energy healer is coming to, you know, some sort of church, or say it's yours or whoever else, and there's levels of, like, confusion, which is, like, what you're talking about earlier, where that would be where there's confusion, because, like, on one hand, if there's confusion saying that maybe these practices on some level, like, are okay, and it's a way to experience Jesus or counter Jesus, but they haven't, like, they haven't seen what she's seen on the other, she has, they don't know about the bad end that she's experienced, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if, like, she comes there, and then they're thinking that maybe somehow, and I'm just giving hypotheticals out here.
Right.
So if, like, I say I'm just a Bethel student, I read the fix, I read, New Age is redeemable. Oh, well, Reiki healing's that. Maybe there's something there I can redeem.
Yeah.
And then she's knows, but then she's hearing that maybe it is okay, but she...
It's conflict.
Yeah, she's conflict and confused. And I think when we talk about, one of my passion topic projects is always helping people transition out of the cults into the church, in a good and healthy church. And that's where I see addressing a situation like this would help it, where something is, like, not a problem. Super sleuth.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, they're talking.
it's kind of why I think that it'd be really helpful, and it should happen with Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton, to make formal statements of these types of books, because they need to be accountable. Regardless of being accountable now, it says in Hebrews 13:17 that they will give an account for the souls they shepherd to God. You know, and regardless if they don't want to give an account now, they will in the future.
Sure, so just, everyone will give account to God.
Right, shepherd specifically for their flock.
And
I really think that they should now, you know, just to, like, make those formal statements, because these are books that they endorse. You know, like, Chris Vallotton has his stamp of approval on this book.
I would back up just a hair or two and say, what healthy churches do, in my opinion, is elders go to the sheep and go, hey, what happened? Why'd you write this? You know, is there something we're reading into this? Is there something we're not? And we would like knowledge, you know, maybe your heart was in the right place. And so, yeah, I think going to people, asking good questions, and then... You know, I don't think it's outside of the realm of belief to be like, hey, can you help us understand why you endorse this? Well, because maybe you didn't, you know, sometimes there's so many endorsements going out. I can't imagine everybody's reading every book. And that may be irresponsibility or whatever.
That's why it's like the main sign I would say of a healthy church, you know, is that for the shepherd to rightly divide the word of truth and never put a stamp of approval on that book.
Well, the word of truth divides us. So, like, I think that getting knowledge, just, hey, Bill, Chris, just let us know what happened and how you're going to handle this, is the first step. Like, I don't want to say you're not being a good shepherd, just what's going on, help us know. And I know at some point they're putting videos out.
That's good. Yeah.
And so, like, we need to talk about this in particular, and many other things.
That's what I'm saying. Pretty much. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be addressed.
But I don't want to say you're failing or whatever, because we jump into accusational mode sometimes, when what we need to do is say, I'm scared and I want knowledge. Like, I'm scared something unhealthy is going on. Just tell us.
Yeah.
And be honest. And if there's some type of action, just tell us the action you need to take. And yeah.
Yeah. And I think it just, it trickles down from the top. When it comes to like leadership and doing those sort of things, we've been going here for a while, and we're kind of in the final, the final.
Well, I just got a plane to catch.
what time do I need to?
It's we got all the time. What time is your
it's
flight?
7 o'clock.
8:30.
8:30. We got all the time. You're right down the road. So, just so you know, this is funny because like you guys are kind of like following us throughout the day. You follow this podcast, started in the hotel, and now we're sort of at the tail end. I'll say this real quickly. And this is where I want to be as constructive as I can in this,
right?
Because you got people, you're going back there,
sure.
And I really, dude, I really admire and respect your courage, like to come on here and sit across the table,
sure.
And I think this has gone well. When I look at when you talk about, because I know I went to a mega church, and it was like there was an aspect where I maybe interacted with a pastor on a personal level,
yeah.
Once at the meet and greet, and then it was kind of like in passing, you know, a couple times out of 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sort of the nature of the beast. And then and even like in another church, that people can fall through the cracks and stuff like that could slip in. I think what's good in a situation like this, like a problem that I would see, and I say it only as a problem to say there should be a definitive solution to this, is that, and I talked about this in the past episode, so... If Bill is really the head shepherd, and I would still say that he is, because he is the one who goes up there and is a teacher. So in a book that has these concerning things and red flags that I've seen, there's things that you've seen. So, and especially in regards to redeeming things that are off limits, and I'm not. And here's just what he says when it, in chapter 4 of Physics of Heaven, and I talk about this recovering a spiritual inheritance. Where it just says, quote, there are anointings, mantles, revelations, and mysteries that have been left unclaimed, literally where they have been left because the generation that walked in them passed over them, passed them on. I believe it's possible to recover realms of anointing, realms of insight, realms of God that have been untended for decades simply by choosing to reclaim them, perpetuate them for future generations, close quote. So I don't. But the problem is in a thing like this, this might be similar to the issue of kenosis that we talked about previously in our last episode, is where it's unclear. The problem I see with a quote like this, just real quickly, is that there's things in this book that are talking about redeeming New Age practices. The whole emphasis on New Age and Gnosticism is always trying to obtain hidden knowledge of something I don't have. I have two brothers who are in the New Age that are at least into those, experiencing those things, getting insights and becoming one with the universe, whatever you want to call it. And it's all about accessing the hidden ancient knowledge, ancient wisdom, where you come from. And that's where, I don't know what Bill's trying to say here. And that's where the concern comes in. Like with that whole environment.
I mean, that quote inspires me to read scripture. Because I think one of the lost things from revival is a heavy emphasis on scripture. And so I feel like that's a mantle Edwards carried. And so like, I don't want to throw that out. What we need to do is do that well. And so like the reason I told you this, like I'm trying to critically think through how do you apply that? And that's where I came up with how chemistry and alchemy and how you separate those things. And I'm trying, just got approved to teach a class on discerning the New Age from, Christianity, because, you know, there are people who go into cults in church history and find lost sheep.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jeremiah Roberts, and kind of want to wrap things up here. I know a lot of you are going to have a lot of different outtakes and conclusions from our dialogue with Elijah Stevens, but I want to just give you mine real briefly as I wrap things up here. So for starters, I really enjoyed my dialogue with Elijah. I really did, and I thoroughly believe he is sincere, and he's very sincere in what he believes in. And I would even go as far to say that I truly believe that he is a brother, and he hasn't really given me any reason at this point to think otherwise. However, in light of the three series that we have dedicated to this movement as a whole, I do see this as a complicated and nuanced mixed bag of wolves and sheep with a lot of difficulty to differentiate between the two. But ultimately, time is going to tell whether or not these messes can be cleaned up or whether or not these messes can even be avoided to begin with. But that all stems from the leadership. So all that being said, I appreciate you guys listening into this series that we did with Elijah Stevens. If you guys enjoy this dialogue, go ahead and give us your thoughts. Leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you thought. Comment on our social media. We will be posting still additional thoughts and content from our discussions. And if something does come up, we may just from time to time update something on thecultishshow.com, our blog there. But for now, we are wrapping things up. And we'll talk to you guys next time on Cultish, where we enter into the kingdom of the cults.